Welcome to the Spike Feed, your leading Magic the Gathering podcast. What is up? My name is Curtis, and I'm just your typical Spike. I have no idea how this episode is going to come together, Cameron.
Well, this is the first part now.
This is the first part, but it's actually the third thing we've recorded for this show.
Yeah.
We don't know what else is going to be in the show. Mm-hmm. Really no idea. Mm-hmm. So hopefully there's some cool stuff after this segment. I hope so. I hope you like it, listeners. But we are car podcasting again.
We are in a nice rain.
Right? Yeah, and the windows are like super fogged over because we've been talking here.
It looks as long as we don't rock the car too much, I think we'll be okay.
We look very suspicious. But anyway, just singing a duet in a car. Cameron, so we talk about the Winnalotus big legacy tournament that we just went to. Mm-hmm. So later on, but we need to talk about bannings.
Yeah, man.
So, Felidar Guardian.
Well, didn't we already talk about bannings last week?
We did. We did. We withheld the show.
Yeah.
And we thought we had our ducks in a row, if you will, that we were going to wait, talk about the standard bannings. Cameron was going to try and learn what sets were actually in standard, for example. And then it all became about legacy, and that made us very happy. Now it's all about standard, buddy.
Boy, is it, right?
Boy, is it. And there's a lot to say here, but basically, Wednesday, I'm playing Magic Online, hanging out. It was Wednesday, right?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
It's all a blur. And I get a text from one of my buddies that says, hey, I'm thinking about playing this and this deck at GP Omaha, but I'm worried it can't beat four colors Saheeli. And as soon as I read that text, I look up and my Twitter feed, because I have TweetDeck, it's just firing, you know, just like boom, 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 boom. And usually one of two things happen. Something is going on with the Royals or something's going on with Magic.
Yeah,
my two primary Twitter things.
For sure.
And Felidar Guardian, emergency banned. Insert record scratch here, right?
Yeah, right.
And basically the statement was along the lines of, hey, we took a look at the data from the first 2 days of Standard on Magic Online, and wow, this is not working out for us, so we're going to go ahead and ban Felidar Guardian. I mean, is there any way it was actually about the data, Cameron, and not about, like, the outrage?
Oh, man, you know, that's a good question, because, like, I was going to give props to Wizards for putting on Magic Online, you know, this quickly, you know, they put in the, I don't
Amonkhet.
Know. Amonkhet, right? And so that helped, right? That helped provide the data that they needed. But yeah, maybe it was community outrage. Maybe it was just the pro saying like, look, you're going to have an awful GP or
Pro Tour,
with this card in standard. You need to do something, you know, maybe that's what it was. So yeah, it probably was a combination of the data, but also just like, pros and everybody else just being kind of outraged over it, right?
Right, and so when we talked about the standard bannings before, we talked about it in terms of consumer confidence.
Yeah.
That I think I used the expression wear one, right? Like, we talked about that baseball analogy of leaving a pitcher out there to give up a ton of runs because you don't want to wear out the rest of your pitchers for the other 100 games going forward. And, I mean, I hate to be this guy, but it seems like they kind of backpedaled on that. They thought they could weather that storm, and whether it was the data or the outrage, they looked at it and went, okay, timeout. I really honestly believe from the bottom of my heart, they knew the whole time Felidar Guardian should go. I honestly think that if they had left Reflector Mage and Emrakul and Smuggler's Copter, if they had left those alone, I still think Felidar Guardian would be getting banned right now. I still think we'd be having that conversation. And honestly, I think it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
But because we ban these cards unnecessarily, some of them, and then if you go and say, hey, Felidar Guardian, hey, we're gonna leave that alone, and then you ban it 2 days later, I mean, yeah, I want to give them props, but at the same time, it's kind of like, could we have not just straightened this all out on Monday? I didn't purchase a single card, so don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
So I feel like, hey, they should be commended on some level for looking themselves in the mirror and going, no.
Sure.
I'm above this. I'm better than this. But on the flip side of that, we should have probably had that happen on Monday.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's Splinter Twin, right? I mean, it's that type of combo. It's not as robust as Splinter Twin, but it's a combo that will win you a game if it fires off. And if that's too powerful for something like Modern, to me, that is way too powerful for something like Standard. So, you know, like, I don't know, as far as, like, the deck design, if this was just something... they had to have known that that existed, like, this combo,
so
right?
So, they claim that they didn't know.
Okay.
That they thought it was a copy with Clone to make infinite creatures that were going to be summoning sick, or something like that.
Okay.
But they didn't put together Saheeli with Felidar Guardian.
Sure, sure. So, you know, like, maybe it's a little bit of a game design thing.
Snafu.
Snafu, right? But that all being said, because of this one deck getting knocked out and Mardu vehicles is still going to be a thing, but at least we have the opportunity for some variety now. And that to me overrides almost everything else. So like, I'm still excited to go play Standard. Like, I want to go right now next to the shop and buy a box so I can just start trading and doing that, which I think I'm going to do because
money is no object to you.
Well, yeah, no, I'm excited, right? Yeah. I mean, like, I think this is going to be, I think I'm going to play it Standard at the GP Omaha. So I'm going to need something. And, I don't know, not having Felidar Guardian in there or something like that. I was hoping that maybe Heart of Kieran would have been like let's do an extra emergency banning, you know, just in case. Yes, consumer confidence and everything that we've been talking about since Reflector Mage Gate or whatever would still be like, okay, consumer confidence, it's all there, but at least Standard will be more fun.
Yeah.
You know?
And look, there are ways to beat vehicles.
Yeah.
Right? At least we hope. But I think from the outside looking in, there's a possible, you know, control deck. Pull from tomorrow, from the streams I've seen and things like that. It's a very real card. You know, Manglehorn, there are things that we can do about vehicles. You can construct your deck in such a way where that deck isn't nearly as good. And by the way, Winding Constrictor decks, just green, black, whatever, isn't going anywhere. I mean, that can still be a pretty decent value deck. What I think their goal is to make Standard a very interactive, mid-range type experience. And Saheeli Felidar Guardian is just not that.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, Modern and Legacy just play a lot better, especially Legacy right now. But, I mean, I think Modern's in a better spot than it's been in the past, which has been nice. And look, I'm interested in Standard as well, and I'm not trying to poo-poo this, but I am concerned that we're still going to land on two decks because of the problem with the design with vehicles. Mm-hmm. So I want it to be over. I want to be wrong. I want it to be, all right, there are five good decks. They're all cheap. Standard is cheap and very interactive and very engaging. I want that very badly.
Yeah.
What I'm concerned about is the fact that it's just red-white vehicles or Mardu vehicles, and we're kind of living the same nightmare over again. It's not as non-interactive. It's not as ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But it could still be, oh, it's just Heart of Kieran beats and cool. Yeah. You know? So I guess I feel like I'm kind of wishy-washy on Standard and the announcement.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, overall, I'm pleasantly surprised. I thought for sure that we were going to be talking about that. I thought Modern, there's going to be some discussion as well. But no, I think this is good, right? Saheeli is still a good card on her own, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's still
theoretically.
That. Theoretically. She
good time
she
to buy her, by the way.
Right? Yeah, right? Yeah. Get that in your Smuggler's Copters in your set.
Can we just go positive for a quick second? I know I was wishy-washy on Standard. So I've completed two Amonkhet drafts.
Oh, dude.
Kind of sight unseen. I'm 3-3 across two draft leagues. So far, I love it. Not like it. I love it. I think it's really good. I don't know what your thoughts have been on it.
So I've only played limited sealed during pre-release last week. I'm right there with you. I love this format right now. I think it's super good. It's so good that it's refreshing to play something like I could play a mono green deck, essentially. I mean, I was splashing a little black just for, like, you know, some value creatures, but I played like essentially a mono green deck and had so much fun, all on the back of the pouncing cheetah. that card is super good. Like, that plus the artifact that that allows green creatures to cost one less, and it gives other green creature +2/+2. You can, like, just flash in these Pouncing Cheetahs, which I got, like, three of in my sealed pool and had a blast. I mean, like, we're talking, like, it was just so much fun to be able to ambush Viper that in, give another creature 2/2, they would be swinging, I'd be able to kill the creature or just win out of nowhere. So, like, that was super fun. I think just draft on Magic Online just because, like, I really do like this set.
It's super good. And I want to say this, like, cycling is great in Limited. I don't know that it always needs to be a constructed level mechanic, but man, does it make Limited a lot more enjoyable.
It does, right?
And honestly, I think all the mechanics have been pretty much a home run. I do think Embalm is long overdue. I don't know why we started with creatures for free from the graveyard.
Yeah, right.
And then finally, it's like Embalm is flashback with creatures. It's fair. It's interestingly costed. It leads to a lot of interesting game states. I've just really enjoyed Amonkhet Limited. And,
yeah, ditto that. Yeah.
Much better than I even thought it would be. I mean, my hopes were up. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things where, I was very mediocre in my drafts, and I still really had a ton of fun.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, Cameron. Well, let's cut this off here. And there's some other stuff that's going to follow this segment. No idea what it is.
Yep.
Might be from the past. Might be from the future. Might be from the past. So we'll see.
So confused.
Yeah. There's a lot, like all time travel, there's a lot to explain.
Sure.
But it's best if you just go with it.
Love it.
Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
So, Cameron, we haven't had as much time as we did last go round to discuss our progress in our Legacy tournament.
Uh-huh.
Right? The rounds are going much more quickly. It's like something's been removed from the format that would have caused it to take a lot of time in the past.
I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I mean, Leovold's in there.
So, listeners, this is our first tournament report. You're hearing the soft pitter-patter of gentle Missouri rain.
I was going to say biblical flood rain, but yeah.
So we're enduring like a serious rainstorm. It's been raining pretty hard for upwards of 8 hours.
Easy.
So we're in a flash flood warning. But you know what, Cameron? We don't care. We're here to deliver some Magic the Gathering content.
Yeah. In a car, volume 2.
Yeah, right? In a car, volume 2. Anyway, so quick tournament report. What did you bring? What's your record? How have things gone? We're at round 6 out of 7 in the Swiss. This is how late we are.
Yeah, and I'm dropping. So I'm done, but I've gone 3-3. I am playing a blue-white Stoneblade list that is like as pure like blue-white Stoneblade as you can get. I'm running four Wastelands, 2 Counterspells in the main, 2 Spell Pierce, and then 4 Force of Wills. And then, you know, just your complement of the new Thalia that I really like, True Name Nemesis, Snapcaster Mage, and... yeah, that's about it. So if you look at like an original list from 2011 when Stoneblade was like first in Legacy, it's pretty much, except for like some new cards.
Except for like True Name Nemesis. Yeah,
it's distilled down to essentially that. Honestly, it's like I feel like it's one of the best performing decks I've had solely because Miracles isn't there. Like, I can't express to you just how much better that deck is with Miracles gone.
We should also just, hey, this is probably one of the first big Legacy events. It's an 80-man event. It's a win a Lotus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit of a high buy-in, but a lot of the Midwest Legacy players are here. And I mean, I'm talking like Central Midwest, not like Ohio. Yeah. But we have Illinois, Kansas, Missouri, Iowa, Nebraska covered. And there's almost a euphoria in the room that the Miracles isn't in the format. I've heard one player be negative about it. Everybody else is very happy.
Mm-hmm.
And the metagame is really interesting.
Super good.
We both had trouble kind of figuring out what to do going into this. You did what you always do, which is plagiarize Shaheen Serrani's list and then kind of go from there.
Why mess with greatness?
If I'm being super honest, I would have also played Esper Stoneblade if I still had it. But I sold my undergrounds last summer. So I showed up with Maverick. I am X and 2. My two losses have been at the hands of Alluren and randomly Rugdelver, which generally speaking is a really good matchup. I've lost at two high level events to Rugdelver like horribly. And this one, I lost when I played Maverick at SCG Kansas City against a Rugdelver opponent. And this one was a drumming. My deck just didn't do a single solitary thing. But as karma tends to work, I was able to, not even kidding, beat lands with Maverick next round. It's kind of a haze. I'm still not exactly sure what happened.
My first two opponents were both lands, and the one guy who won the Winamox, excuse me, 2 months ago, I beat. I was not expecting that. So maybe, I don't know, I thought lands was going to be very favored, but maybe with the advent of Wasteland just being literally everywhere, it's going to have a hard time.
Yeah, I think we can safely say Wasteland is a lot better. Daze is a lot better. I mean, we kind of theorized about these things. I haven't seen Stifle very much today, just kind of walking through the room. But lands is worse than I expected. I think if you were to put gun to my head and say, what is the absolute best deck in Legacy right now, I would have said lands. And just watching it perform in the room. Now, granted, it still might win the event. We have no idea.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm kind of surprised at how poorly it's doing based upon the players that we know that are playing lands. So it's interesting, right?
For sure.
There's a lot of creature combat going on, and I don't know how much of that is, hey, this is just kind of a local meta, this is a small group. Obviously, you know, anytime you want to disprove or prove anything, you can just say small sample size.
Yeah, yeah,
and that's
sure.
the blanket statement for anything that could ever...
I mean, everybody's going to be running their pet deck. I mean, the guy who you lost to, that was Alluren, had the most beautifully tricked out Alluren deck I've ever... It was gorgeous, yeah. So everybody, you know, they're going to play what you love,
right? Yeah, so just grab from our inferences what you will.
Yeah.
You know, say small sample size. You could say I'm losing my hair, but I'd say small sample size, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's been a real joy to play in this event. We're going to try and get some interviews in as well, but like I said, the rounds and the event are going a lot faster. It's really noticeable.
Extremely noticeable, yeah.
And so that's been kind of the key to the whole thing. Well, you want to come back in after this round and then have another chat about what we do? I mean, I'm pretty much locked out for top 8.
Yep.
But I'm still alive for a top 16, so I'm going to play this last round, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back. Hey, Cameron. So we just wrapped up the Win-A-Lotus here in Columbia, Missouri.
Yeah, we're both $3,000 richer because we both won the Lotus, right?
Yeah. I brought it home for all the Maverick players out there.
Yeah.
So, Cameron, so you ended up 3-3 drop.
Yeah, yeah. And the only reason, I mean, I was like just super hungry, mentally exhausted, and I have like, you know, a long trip to go. So I thought, I really want to do the podcast. I don't want to be like mentally spent. So I'm just going to drop. There's no chance of me getting that. And I've gotten my fill of Legacy where I didn't feel like I was missing out by not playing one more round.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, even though I'm mentally exhausted, it's like, it's a really good sort of fatigue. For some reason, I mean, like going to a shop F&M is always great, but the skill level here is so much higher. Not only just me playing against some of these really good players, but just also, I just got done watching you play, against a four color
Deathblade Bant kind of thing.
Yeah. Leovold. Yeah.
Dark Bant
thing. And that was some really good magic. Like, I wish that was on camera because, I mean, maybe the long pauses would have been bad, but overall,
going
it was like
in the tank.
Yeah, yeah. But it was like really, really interesting to watch. And so, like, I'm so appreciative that this thing exists, that we get to come celebrate Legacy, you know, once every 2 months. But it's great. It's super awesome.
Yeah, and I touched upon this when we talked last. It feels very fresh. Because Top is not around. Even though Miracles wasn't a presence last time we played at this event. I mean, there were a few Miracles players, but not a ton. Now it's like a whole new world. And it is very mid-rangey, at least from my experience. So let me go through my moment-to-moment matches.
Because yeah, yeah, we should go through our days, I think.
So I ended up losing, like, right off the bat, I got paired against Old School Rugdelver. A player had kind of dusted that off, wanted to see how it would work. And I was excited because traditionally Maverick excels against Rugdelver.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got just drummed. Like, I wasn't even in the games. I would love to tell you I played correctly or incorrectly, but it was just kind of one of those where I got tempoed out, and that was that. Then I think I mentioned this last segment. I somehow won against Lands.
Mm-hmm.
I beat Black Red Reanimator, which, again, I continue to believe that Maverick has a really good matchup against. You know, it's at least 50-50.
Yeah, it's a glass cannon deck. I mean, if you can survive past turns two or three normally, I think you're in the favor then, right?
Yeah, you have to have a really bad hand. But basically, a ton of your deck interacts with what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Even the like traditional things like Swords to Plowshares that are really bad against combo decks are pretty good against the Black Red Reanimator deck because you know they're not going to force anything. It gives you a lot of comfort while it's like, hey, there's a Chancellor of the Annex. I'm just going to plow that and move on with my life, right? I actually, you know, beat my opponent on this really weird Wasteland, and then I had Scribranger and gave him protection from white for against the Chancellor over and over again, and that's how I just ended up valuing them out.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And then I played against some Stoneblade guy? I don't know. I don't know what he was doing. Just some scrub, really.
Okay, so let's go over this. So, once again, you and I, round three, play against each other. Round four.
We were both 2-1.
That's right. We were both 2-1, play against each other. And I think we were both kind of like, eh, right? I mean, I hate playing against you. I mean, I can barely stand
on a
podcast playing against
you. I think it's fantastic.
But I would have to say, like, game one didn't go really well for me. Like, it was a very quick end, I thought. But games two and three went pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought there was just a lot of good interaction. I will say, at the end of game three, I totally biffed it by just two massive misplays, right?
You always force the Teague.
Yeah, you played a Gaddock Teague. I had a force in hand with five mana up. No blue cards in hand, but at least five mana. And for some reason, I just looked at it. You Greensunned. That's what you did.
Mm-hmm.
And I just looked at it and like, cool, without ever thinking about like forcing it. I think it was just a complete
mental
error.
Maybe you were thinking Pride Mage. Maybe you were thinking Scavenging Ooze.
Yeah. So, and then what do I draw off the top of my deck? But a Jace and then the force that's sitting in there, a Batterskull that I had to balance, and the card that I desperately, desperately needed to play, which was my Wrath, my Supreme Verdict. And so that right there was the first numero uno wrong thing. And number two, just like a total idiot play on my part, because you were playing New Thalia as well, I, some reason, unequipped my Snapcaster Mage that had a Sword of Feast and Famine on it and attached it to a Batterskull that I flashed in, completely thinking that I forgot that that was tapped. You called on that. And then I just have the Snapcaster that's pro nothing and lost the game that way. Had I not done that, had I just left my Stoneforge up and that Snapcaster with the equipped sword, I think I would have been able to at least block, cheat in the Batterskull, and then next turn equip Batterskull, and maybe the game would have changed from there.
Yeah, but that was also a strange game. So game two, I should point out the one you won. I did mulligan to five. I'm just putting that out there, Cameron, that I handicapped. So
I appreciate it.
You can beat Curtis with five cards. So that's good. Now, the other thing I would mention with that is, like, I also knocked you down. Like, at one point in game three, you were at 28, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually killed you with a Zealous Persecution for, like, 18. You know, it was kind of like a real swift out of nowhere. Oh, hey, there's Zealous Persecution off the top. Then I got paired against Delurin. I think I'm very not favored in that matchup.
Mm-hmm.
The best way that I can win that matchup is for them to basically get shut out on mana.
Mm-hmm.
I can wasteland them out, but that's about it. And that did happen in game two. Again, New Thalia was kind of an all-star in that match. Like, my opponent kind of picked it up and went, oh my God.
Yeah,
man. Yeah. So I lost that. I never saw the Alluring combo. So game one, I flooded horribly. Like, I just lost to like a Shardless Agent or something.
Mm-hmm.
I played three cards and had seven lands in play. But I kept a four lander and never did I see another card, you know, there was an action card. So it's kind of brutal in that regard.
Rough.
You know, the old fetch a Dryad Arbor to chump block play. And then I got paired against Eldrazi, which in my experience is super great.
Mm-hmm.
One night of the Reliquary and it's kind of like,
yeah, they have a hard time, right?
What do they do?
Yeah.
I mean,
two dismembers.
Yeah, they can attack into it. And yeah. once I kind of start machine gunning their lands, their deck basically does nothing. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to outvalue them. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to get way out in front very quickly. And the equipment even is good in that matchup.
Yeah,
even though you wouldn't think it is. So I feel like I'm missing a matchup. But then I just played against Darkbant. And game one was a non-game, basically. Mm-hmm. I ended up having to trigger my opponent's Leovold four times.
Easy. I think I watched that entire match, and I think you did. Right?
Yeah, because I had... He had a Batterskull, Sword of Fire and Ice, Jit, and Assorted Creatures, and a Leovold. And basically, I had a Jit on a Thalia with, like, four counters and a Sword of Fire and Ice.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up playing a Kasali Pride Mage, killing his Batterskull, Jitting his Stoneforge Mystic, and he drew cards off all these. He had two mana up, and I had a Thalia in play. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of just like, okay, if I hit with Thalia,
mm-hmm.
I end up gaining a bunch of this value back. Basically, it becomes whatever it is, a 3-for-4 or whatever. But he had the Swords to Plowshares after he got to draw a million cards, and that was kind of a bummer. And then game two, I lost to a True Name Nemesis. I had any number of outs that I didn't get to. My opponent, I was able to wasteland out, but they played a True Name off of Noble Hierarch.
Yep.
And I didn't get my Jit active in time. I had this really kind of bizarre play where I was dead on board, and I sacrificed something with my Knight of the Reliquary, mm-hmm. Scrubland, I think.
Scrubland.
Floated a white, got a Horizon Canopy,
mm-hmm.
floated the white, got the Horizon Canopy, cast in Light and Tutor, mm-hmm. got the Jit, put it on top of my library, drew it with the Horizon Canopy,
yep.
and then put it into play and kept myself alive for another two turns.
You were at one that entire time. So, like, while he had, like, a double exalted True Name Nemesis,
yes.
right? So, I mean, like, yeah, like, that line of play was very, very good. Yeah, you being able to gain two life each turn. I mean, you could just slightly keep ahead, right? That was a really good play. I was completely enamored in that game. Like, that is, like, the type of magic that... you would see on Star City like 2 years ago or whatever when mm-hmm. they played that, and man, that was good. That was just like, I hate giving you a pat on the back, but that was like legitimately great magic. I mean, you lost horribly.
Yeah. If it makes you feel any better, I still got my head kicked in. And what's weird is I don't necessarily feel like I'm disadvantaged in that matchup.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like game one was kind of a non-game, and then game two... we had this long interactive match, but essentially my opponent was able to get to four swings with a True Name Nemesis before I could do much else, you know? But I had a lot of outs in my deck, ways to gain life,
mm-hmm.
Or a way to kill a True Name. Cause I sideboarded in two Zealous Persecutions. An opponent at that point had no lands,
mm-hmm.
nothing. And it was just kind of like, I shouldn't say that. He had two Noble Hierarchs, right?
Sure.
But regardless, a few other quick points about just the event. So I ended up 4-3. You ended up 3-3 drop.
Mm-hmm.
I got drilled last night on Magic Online.
Mm-hmm.
I went to practice. Just being honest, I hadn't been like putting in a ton of reps, A, because of the bannings, but B, because of my work.
Yeah.
And I had the worst league I think I've ever had. I went 1-4.
Wow.
Did you hear the thunder there?
I hope we're getting that. Yeah, because that's pretty awesome.
I was really discouraged. You know, Maverick and I, you know, we've been through a lot together.
Yeah.
But I was really starting to doubt my build. And I still think it's probably wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably some things that are not correct about it, but I kind of just went in blind. And I think a lot of people did, you know, mm-hmm. and you kind of have to rely on just your overall, A, luck of matchup, but B, play skill. And again, I just felt like so much of my play skill was exercised today and, you know, kind of working that muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas sometimes when I play Amonkhet Draft, which we haven't talked about yet, but has been super great, I feel like it's not that same level of magic. It's not that high level thing that Legacy is. And while the Magic Online meta is not great, the leagues are still super small. When I signed up for last night, it was 230 players. I do think this represents a really interesting access point for anybody that's out there that has the mm-hmm. opportunity to play Legacy.
For sure.
Because it's the Wild West, right?
It is. It This is the shakeup that I've been wanting desperately, and it's so nice that it's actually here. Like, I don't know, like, it's weird when, like, I get excited about, like, Wasteland. It's finally great because, like, there's a lot of four-color decks out there that, you know, that it's not Miracles where Wasteland is really just kind of dead, right? I mean, you're hosing yourself by losing a land, and they don't care if their Tundra goes away, right? So, like, there's, like, that card. There's Days right now. There's just a ton of really cool things. And, like, if this shop's meta is just kind of an indication of, like, what we can expect for the summer, sign me up, man. Like, this is exciting. I love it.
So, a couple other conclusions to come to. Agreed,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah.
A couple other conclusions to come to about specific cards. You picked it up on the way to the store today.
Mm-hmm.
Total all-star for me. Like, this close to main decking it was Crucible of Worlds.
Yeah.
I mean, as good as Wasteland is, Crucible gets better.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Abrupt Decay is in the format. Yes, a lot of people are playing it right now. But maybe, I mean, also Life from the Loam might be that much better as well, right? It's on the similar axis, recycling Wastelands, because Wasteland might actually be the second best card in Legacy right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would actually say it's a better card right now than Force.
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah. I mean, Cavern's really popular, right?
Right.
I mean, and then, yeah, there's a lot of ways that people can get around Force. So, yeah, I totally agree with that.
Brainstorm Wasteland. And then, oddly, kind of on a lark, I put in Courser of Kruphix as a one-up, as a Green Sun Zenith in my deck today.
Yeah.
And I actually thought about switching it with Tireless Tracker. I've kind of gone back and forth between those three. And there's this new god, this Ronus.
Yeah, yeah.
And Courser was absolutely unbelievable for me. Multiple opponents felt like they had to kill it on the spot because of how much it would gain me. And I know it was on the board a long time in our match. And boy, you really noticed, right?
Oh, like, yeah, yeah. I mean, you're just getting significant card advantage over that. Like, yeah, it's significant. I mean, it was an all-star in Standard. And yeah, I like that. I like that. That was saucy. That was, honestly, I think, better than Tireless Tracker for you, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. It definitely netted you more value, I think, in the long run.
The one thing that I expected to see more of that I didn't was just mono red. And that might be an availability thing, but, you know, Harsh Mentor might just not be that good if Top isn't in the format, you know?
I was going to say, like, for me, I'm wondering if my enjoyment of, like, this tournament is so good or so positive because I don't play any burn. I haven't played any burn. And I played against one Bug Delver deck. He didn't even cast a Delver that entire round, right? So, you know, and that's, like, really popular at my shop, obviously, because they're the two easiest entry points if you want to play a blue deck. Delver is, but then, you know, there's just burn, mono red, and that's just an entry point because of Modern. I don't know. I'm wondering if, like, yeah, the Harsh Mentor is not as good or as I thought it was going to be, or maybe it's just a sideboard card. I don't know. It's interesting to me.
Well, a 2-mana 2/2 doesn't seem super great.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I mean, not a lot of things are getting activated. We saw a lot of just creature combat today. That's not to say that's how Legacy is going to play out. This is a lot of people's first stab.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if you're in the area or, you know, because what this shop is doing is really interesting because of where Legacy's at. They've decided to have a big Legacy tournament every other month.
Yeah.
And that makes me very engaged and want to make this drive every other month.
For sure.
You know, the juice is worth the squeeze at that point.
Absolutely, right?
But anyway, so that's our thoughts on Legacy. We're going to try and get some other content because I know people want us to talk about Felidar Guardian being not banned and banned. And
wait, it was banned and then it was unbanned? What happened?
Cameron, I'll explain later.
Theorizing that one could time travel within his own lifetime, Dr. Sam Beckett stepped into the Quantum Leap Accelerator and vanished.
All right. Hi, Jeremy. How are you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So I am here in Valhalla Games with Jeremy Aronson.
Yep.
I just know you as Zimmon on Twitter.
Yeah, that's generally the pseudonym that I go by.
And so you're the TO here. How does that work exactly? What's your title?
So I basically run all the Magic events here and I own all the cards in the shop. I work with 4 or 5 shops in the United States and I provide inventory to them. And in return, they get a cut of the profits. Magic was sort of struggling here locally until I moved here from St. Louis and brought the Legacy scene with us. And ever since then, we've just been running Legacy tournaments to sort of help people out. And I guess it's working because people are driving up to 8 hours to come in.
Yeah, so let's polish your resume a little bit more. So you're also you're on Cartel Finance, which is a podcast as
Yeah, I'm the co-host of Cartel Finance, which is basically if you like to trade and how to make money, trading cards or buying cards, or in our cases mainly buying out cards. We do a lot of that basically on sort of how to manipulate the market to your advantage.
Okay, so a little bit of MTG Finance guy, yeah. A little bit of a TO guy,
basically.
How did you arrive at having these big tournaments? Because most of the time, Legacy scenes are eight dudes that are mostly friends.
Yeah.
And the metagames are super kind of insular and all those things.
Right.
And I see in this shop, you don't have necessarily a super regular Legacy event. You just kind of do these bigger buy-in. How did you land on that?
So essentially, I wanted my friends from Kansas City and St. Louis to come and play in these events. And the only way to get their lazy asses out of bed was to do Moxen or bigger. So we went from doing unlimited Moxen to beta Moxen, from beta Moxen, and this one was a Lotus, and we sold out. People were complaining that there weren't enough seats because they couldn't get spots, and you know, we physically, as you guys probably understood, cannot fit anyone else in the shop. So yeah, we decided to just start doing a payout where we pay out 100% of all entry fees in, and then we make our money on singles. Our last one that you guys attended, like, we paid out dual lands every round as door prizes, stuff like that. We did the same here, and then we make all of our money on drinks and singles, essentially.
Okay.
So why do a tournament with a dead format that sucks?
Yeah, so I hate Modern, for those that follow me on Twitter or anything like that. I can't stand that format. I think it's garbage. And I really just like playing with cards that everyone says are dead. We have a really small Legacy scene here, but as soon as you get the St. Louis and Kansas City people driving in, there's like 40 people that show up minimum. So it's real nice.
So is this something you're planning on continuing?
Yeah. I did my undergrad here at the University of Missouri. I'm going to law school here as well. Once that's over, I'm looking to cash out and just play Legacy and Vintage with my buddies. But until then, we'll continue to do these tournaments every other month at the latest, just to get people back here.
Okay. So let's just kind of clarify this for other shops that maybe, I don't know, hint, hint, would like to use this style of event for Legacy, because that's the thing you'll hear from store owners all the time is, I just can't get eight people in for a weekly Legacy event. So to you, and I'm not saying Legacy is dead, is the weekly Legacy event...
That's just not going to cut it anymore. Outside of a few niche formats, in my opinion, just like with all the Legacy groups that I'm involved in, the Des Moines Legacy group, the Kansas City thread, the 847 Chicago Legacy Group. Unless you have a dedicated amount of people like at Card Kingdom in Seattle, it's just not going to work anymore. Legacy players, in my opinion, prefer to have a tournament scheduled a couple months out. They know what the prizes are, they know what the payout is, and they can set aside time from generally their busy jobs or families in order to go out and play once a month.
Right on. And I mean, that we tend to skew a little older. But something happened with this Legacy event in particular.
Which was?
A week out.
Oh, yeah.
Felidar Guardian. No.
yeah. This was the one of three topless tournaments that I'm aware of in the United States. Over 64 players that took place this weekend. We'll be posting our deck list on Reddit and MTGs of the Source and all that. So you guys can see where they finished. If they haven't told you yet, that is. I'm not quite sure. And... We had 19 Miracles players, which Columbia is generally a very miracle-heavy group. Mm-hmm. Every week, it's like half Miracles. So we had a quarter of the field be Miracles, and they all emergency either sold their spot or changed to Stoneblade, which obviously didn't benefit, you know, the Stoneblade Master on this cast, because everyone was prepped for it.
Right. So of course you're talking to me. So
yeah.
But, I mean, from a TO's perspective, was that kind of a nightmare to deal with, or did it end up working out? I mean, were people generally positive about the banning?
The Magic players are salty. I think we can all agree on that. We had a lot of people call and, like, threaten stuff and, like, you know, like, this is, I don't know if I can swear on this cast, that, you know, this is not great. And like
something to the effect of they were unhappy, right?
Yes, they were very unhappy. So I received a lot of flack personally. And when they demanded, like, we have a no refund policy, which is stated on our Facebook events mainly and our website. I politely informed them that they could either sell their spot or forfeit their spot because we quite literally had a waiting list of so many people that were just trying to get into the tournament last minute. For some reason, Magic players don't like to plan ahead and book stuff in. They would all rather call me the night before the tournament and try to get a slot.
Well, I like to plan ahead, and I really appreciate it. I mean, that's one of the big problems I have, just as like a guy that likes to play on Saturdays. Sometimes events in the city, it's like, oh, I find out 2 days before, and I don't want my wife to murder me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, well, hey, man, big props to you. I've had a ton of fun these last two events.
Yeah, thanks for coming. We are doing the next one on June 24th, I believe. It'll probably be for another Unlimited or Beta Mox. I'm not sure yet. We're taking May off because graduation, we just won't hit big numbers generally in the area.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, thanks for having me on your cast, and hopefully Legacy continues to prosper.
Yeah, I think this is a really good avenue for it, especially for a guy like me that just – I can't do a weekly thing, even if I could, you know, but it is, and we were just talking about this in the car when we were car casting. This is a really good time to get into Legacy.
Yeah, the format's actually not that expensive compared to Standard, where they're hitting your deck left and right. You can buy a dual land, which will never really go down. The inventions, I think, have added an element that Standard players like, especially if you're just winning booster packs as prizes in your weekly Legacy event. You open an invocation, you trade that for a Tarmogoyf, you trade that for a Flusterstorm, and you're one step closer to your 75.
Yeah, and a bunch of like random kind of cheap Legacy decks, like Goblins or whatever, are a lot better now with the, you know, they're not great, don't get me wrong, but it's still accessible compared to where it was when Miracles was in the format.
Yeah, we had a 10% burn meta this weekend, and a lot of people were playing Almanket cards as far as Harsh Mentor, just to, like, one, they couldn't necessarily afford Fire Blast or Arid Maces, I'm not quite sure. but they were like, I'm going to play Harsh Mentor because I can only afford to buy two Eidolons, so we'll just throw two Harsh Mentors in, and I'll play Legacy for once. The cool thing about this shop in particular that I work with is it's super casual, and as a result, a lot of people just come to play for fun and don't care about the prize support. So we make a concerted effort at the beginning of the tournament to tell the players that there's new players playing, be patient with judge calls and all that.
Well, it's working out for you, man. So thanks for joining us on the cast.
Yeah,
and we'll probably bark at you again sometime whenever we're down again.
Yeah, we hope to see you soon.
All right, thank you.
In the midst of everything, we forgot to record a close. So that's how the show ended. We'll have a regular show next week. But in the meantime, if you want to reach Curtis, it's at CurtisNow. And I am at Cameron_McCoy. We'll see you guys next week.